So we should most definitely get through the pure at heart, and then we'll have the peacemakers and then those who suffer after that. What will help to keep our hearts pure? That's kind of where we left off last week. Things that will help us keep our hearts pure. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Tells us, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's told there in verse 7, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's one way that we keep our hearts pure. That's one way. All these Beatitudes, you know, they're talking about character, about relationships, all these things. And that's why this fits so well, 1 John 1, 6, and 7. That's how we keep our hearts pure, by walking in the light of God. And we all know that word walking is a very broad term. It's the way we live. It's our actions. But when we're busy about the work of God, and when we're busy according to His Word, relationships are going to fall in place, because that's what they do, is they nurture good relationships. Talk about fellowship one with another. Like we said a week or two ago, we could park the car, get out, and walk a while with fellowship, because it's a big word. It's a very general word today, especially in the religious world, of what everybody wants to hang on it as fellowship. But God's Word talks about fellowship in the manner and the means of His Word and in His works and in the church. It's not social things. It's not these other things. So we need to keep those things in our mind. Second thing that we can think about keeping our hearts pure in Philippians. I think it's 4 and verse 8, I think. Yeah, 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, I've got written over noble, honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What we mentioned earlier in our study, that's how we keep ourselves positive. We've got so much to be thankful for, so much we're blessed with, and yet we as humans so dread the bad that we lock onto it and we dwell on ugliness and bad things because we want to correct problems. It's natural for us to want to correct problems, but we've got so much good. And if we keep our minds dwelling on good, honest, clean, pure things, It radiates through us. What comes into our minds, our hearts, is what comes out of our hearts. These are the ways that we keep our hearts pure. No better way to stay right in God's Word. I mean, have a voracious appetite and work ethic when it comes to spending time in God's Word. You can listen to the news or the TV for 5 minutes and get a ton of evil stuff that will drag us down, but stay in God's Word and we can keep all we want of good things.
Hey, what, Mark? I think that's a good point, in that we can watch the news and all this stuff and let all that stuff worry us and frustrate us and all that, but there's not one thing in this world we can do about most of it.
Right.
And I mean, so if we'll concentrate on what the Word of God says and say, okay, now what can I do?
Right.
And that's what if we focus on that'll be a lot more benefit to us than worrying about what's something we can't do anything
about. That's exactly right. That's great. I remember you had a message a while back about that really helped me about, you know, what we think about, what we stay on, and about the bad things that we can't do anything about it, and our faith, and how our faith, if it's built up and we're strong, we're resilient to that stuff. We'll talk a little bit later about putting on the whole armor of God. That's part of it. We've got a shield. We've got things that protect us from all this. And if we don't build ourselves up for it, we're vulnerable. Number six, what are some indications that our hearts are pure toward God? If we wanted to look at something about our own lives that would tell us or show us that we're on the right track, that our hearts are pure with God, what are some of the things that we're going to see in ourselves that will show us that? I'm going to comment on these and give you the verse. We won't read them all because I want to get through this and get started on our next beatitude. But Matthew 22:37, if you're taking notes. Matthew 22:37. It mentions there that we will love God with all our heart, our soul, we're all our being. We talked about a voracious appetite. We'll love God because we know Him, but we'll love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. When we do that, that's a good indicator to us that our hearts are pure, because we're not desiring what the world seeks. Bernice.
In ladies' class Monday, we covered Mark 7, about the defilement, what defiles a person.
Okay.
So Mark 7:21, it says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. We can't let our minds go that route.
That's exactly right. I think of our minds like a cucumber. We want to pickle them in vinegar or something. We can make something good. And if we want to put them in kerosene, they'll come something out. We can't leave our minds and our hearts in evil and bad, because what goes in is what's going to come back out. Well,
when we think about keeping our hearts pure, we look into God's Word that helps keep the heart pure. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure.
Yeah. So if we're looking for pure, that's it, right? Very good. Matthew 22:39. We'll love our neighbor as ourself. We can tell, and I know everybody's the same way, within the first 10 seconds when you meet somebody and speak with them, 9 times out of 10, you will have a good idea of what kind of person that is. A true Christian that loves God, you can watch them and see a different air about them. That happiness, that hope, that's all the stuff that the world's attracted to us for. And we have that because we have pure hearts. God makes our hearts possible to be pure. 1 John 2:15-17 mentions there that we will do the will of God. And it also contrasts that we won't be busy about trying to do the things of the world. But when we notice that about ourselves, when we're more interested in taking care of God's business that we have here on earth than we are about chasing the worldly things, good indicator to ourselves where our hearts are pure. I like this one. Proverbs 15:26. I looked at that and it talked about a pure heart. And here's what it says it is. It causes our words to be pleasant to the Lord and to others. That's when we know that we have a pure heart. Those things that Bernice and we was talking about there, about the things that come out, that's when we know our words, our speech will be pleasant to God and to others around us. Matthew 6:24. We won't try to serve man, and we will try to serve God. 1 John 3:3. That hope, we have that hope of being like God and having eternal life with Him. When we have that hope, that true hope, and people see that in us, it's a good indicator. Acts 15:9. Our hearts will be purified by faith. I had a note to go on with that as far as our hearts being purified by faith. Got to keep in mind, as James 2:17 says, that's in works. How is our faith manifested or revealed to those around? By our works. So is our hearts purified by faith. It's something that's seen in us. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. We'll be busy seeking the things above and not the things of the earth. Those principles that we talked about and expounded on earlier, those principles of the world, the things that are used to attract us away that we fall to, the social, emotional, the monetary, all these things that attract us, these principles of the world. We won't be busy about them, but we'll be seeking things above. Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:16, and then I add verses 24 and 25 to that as well. Galatians 5:16, 24 and 25. We'll be walking in the Spirit, and we will have crucified the flesh. We'll see that in ourselves. That giving up of the worldly things, chasing the worldly things, they lose their flash and their attractiveness to us. We begin living for a better cause. Number 7, what is said to be pure religion? If you go to James 1:27, that's the one that we often think about, is to visit the orphans and the widows. Yeah, that's the merciful work that we looked at under the merciful beatitude. But the later part of that tells us that we will be unspotted. That's pure religion, this unspotted, this pure heart, unspotted heart, clean heart. It's what God's always demanded of us. We think about that a lot as a Christian when we serve in the church. God requires an unspotted church, one without spot, a pure church. That's what we're to strive to do to the best of our abilities, is to keep ourselves unspotted so that we can do that. Number 8, what is the outcome of a pure heart? The outcome or the result of a pure heart. I found Psalms 24, 3 through 4 to be very interesting to me. It talks there about, let's go to it, Psalms 24. Who may ascend unto the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. But the part that we were looking at there, the ones who have clean hands and clean hearts, pure hearts, those are the ones that are going to stand in the presence of God. Just like our Beatitude says here of our text, for they shall see God. Yeah, that's what Psalms 24, 3 through 4 is pushing. Talking about judgment, what's the outcome of a pure heart? They shall see God. Seeing God, when you think about seeing God, you've got to look at that in two different aspects. We see God, in a sense, here on earth, only because He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. But we can know Him, we can see Him, because of what we know here. Here on earth, to see God for what He really is, it's in the sense of enlightenment from the Word of God, or to know Him. This is in complete contrast of spiritual darkness. We know of those who are in spiritual darkness. They don't know God. They don't know His way. They're floundering in sin. They're in spiritual darkness. Knowing God, seeing God, is the exact opposite of that. You're in the light. You know God. He's here. He's given Himself to us. We know Him. We know what He wants of us. It's completely different. We are in the bright light as opposed to spiritual darkness. Our hearts are willingly open to hear and learn of the true God of heaven. Second point of seeing God, to see God, is to come into a relationship with Him. I was reminded there of John 3:3-5 there, where Christ, was speaking with Nicodemus, and He said, in order for you to see the kingdom or to enter the kingdom, You know, you're going to have to be born again of the Spirit, of the water and the Spirit. That's how you see, is you submit in obedience. If you're going to see these things, you have to do what they say. See God, be acceptable in His presence, as we said about in Psalms 24:3. Who can come into His presence? The clean heart, the pure heart, clean hands. It's all about, you know, just like in Isaiah, we're separated because of our sins. That's what God's done. He's played out this plan to keep our sins from separating us from Him. And that's what we're to strive to do. And if we're going to know Him, we're going to know Him truly, be acceptable to Him, we got to take advantage of what He offers us. When you talk about seeing God in an eternal sense, is to be in His presence forever. That's our hope. That's what we cling to. We don't know how long we'll have, how much time we have on earth. But if we work hard, we look forward to an eternal existence later on. And if we have that pure heart, He tells us that we will see Him. We can be together with God and those redeemed. I thought about a new body. You know, we're going to give up these fleshly bodies that deteriorate and run down, and we have so much trouble out of, and are vulnerable to so many temptations and stuff because of them. All that's gone. We've got a new body, a perfect body. And we can look forward to having that. Revelation 22:4 is another passage that goes along with our text that mentions in heaven we will see His face. We can't see His face now. We can see Him and we can know Him because of His Word. And we can have a relationship with Him and we can draw near to Him. But faith will become sight when we go to heaven. We will see. We'll see Him. That's what we strive for. Our first and major concern as humans is to keep our hearts undivided and unpolluted. I want to make sure we get these conclusions in because I sometimes run off and leave myself. Keep our hearts undivided, unpolluted, uncontaminated, or pure, open to hear the Word of God, to have a willingness to come to God for the cleansing of our hearts from sin and disobedience, to keep it clean, pure, undivided, and set on God and our goal of heaven someday, to have a heart at peace with God. Peace. We're going to talk about peace. It kind of sets us up for our next beatitude. But a heart of peace with God. Philippians 4:7 talks about that peace that passes all understanding. That's the potential that we have there. Romans 5:1 talks about us justified by faith, and because of that, we have that peace. And all that comes to us because of Christ. It all comes through Christ. But we can have that great peace. In heaven, it's only going to be the pure of heart. No fakes, no hypocrites, no false teachers, no members. All that'll be weeded out and taken care of. Something that we can very look forward to. Anybody got anything they want to add to pure in heart that might help us or that we need to correct or straighten out? For our next one, number 7 in verse 9 of Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. I think we're going to make it through these. I pray that we are. We may not get to spend a lot of time on the next one, but we will touch on it. Peace is something that we all strive for. We just talked about peace when we finished up there for last beatitude. It's something that we all want. It's a wonderful thing. Probably not everybody seeks peace or wants peace, but in general, for the most part, people want peace. But now peace is something, it's another very general, broad word, and what is peace to some people is not peace to other people. So we need to look at peace. What we need to look at is God's outlook concerning peace. What does God want according to peace? He offers it to the people that are His, to those who live righteous lives. We know that from Psalms 29:11. Psalms 29:11. But we also know from Isaiah 48:22 that the wicked are not going to have it. He refuses to give peace to the wicked. They may have or place themselves in a position where they don't have to worry about a lot of things in life, but as we get into the Word and find out what God's outlook of peace is, they won't have that.
One thing too, Mark, as far as you think about this, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God." Think about what the Son of God actually did. He brought peace between man and God.
Mm-hmm. Perfect example.
I mean, man basically declared war on God when he rebelled against him.
Yeah.
And so if we think about it in those terms, think about, okay, how can we be a peacemaker? Probably the number one thing we can do is teach the gospel that we're in alignment with what right. Christ came here to do.
Right. And that's really our main goal in it. You know, we're not here to wage battles or wars or physical conflicts. We're here to bring God's word and to bring peace to those around us. God uses man to help accomplish what he wants to when it comes to peacemakers. We've already spent some time when we were back talking about our merciful beatitude, about how we react with evil. Some good things that go along with what we're going to look at some more here as peacemakers. And we're going to build on what we've already done, really, from that. But we can be blessed by God because He's able to do that, and He wants us as peacemakers. What kind of peace is under consideration when we look at our text there in Matthew 5:9? I had one verse, and some of you all may have some better things. John 14. When we're looking at what kind of peace, because we're going to talk about some other pieces. The world don't see peace the way we see peace. John 14:27. Christ said there, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace, when it comes to God's consideration, Christ is untroubled and unafraid. We have to define untroubled, but we shouldn't be afraid. God does not want us running around with our heads down and scared that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to fear anyone other than He who takes the body and the soul. But there's no control over us. And when we cut those ties with the world, they have no influence or control over us. So it's His idea of peace is untroubled and unafraid. So how does that peace that Jesus gives differ from the peace that the world gives us? The world thinks of peace as being content, being at peace with yourself. That's what the world sees as peace, is just being content. Well, that don't necessarily mean that it's of God or about God. They're thinking more of no financial burdens, enjoying the company of family, fun, leisure, all these things. To them, they're at peace with these things. That's what puts them at peace. That's totally different than what Christ was bringing. It's kind of really withdrawal, if you think about it. If you're only worried, a peace is when you're taken care of what you desire. It's a selfish motive, really, because you're only worried about yourself being content, you having what you want. See, we're leaving that realm of relationships that all these Beatitudes are for, with others, with what the world sees in us. We're leaving that realm when we go into the peace that the world wants, this contentment. They just want to escape the trials and the tribulations of life is what they're looking to get away from. We know as Christians, trials and tribulations are going to come in this world. We're not going to get away from those. That's part of this world. Just because we're God's children doesn't mean we're protected from these things. As a matter of fact, Satan doesn't have to work on the ones he has. It's the ones he doesn't have that he has to spend most of his time on. But trials and tribulations, no one's guarded from that. No one's kept from that. Others think of peace as a compromise. They want to make peace with something. And along with that comes, you know, simply that, compromise. The amount to give up, to get out of a struggle, to get rid of temptation by giving in to it. Remember this saying, peace at any price usually means slavery, because you just give it away. You give. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to give. When we stand for God's truth, we're here to stand firm. There's no compromise. But in the world's idea, when you talk about peace, that's what they think about. Thirdly, I thought about a lot of men who don't want peace at all. If you did much of my job very long, you would see real quick that there is a portion of mankind who doesn't want peace. They live and thrive on controversy, conflict, turmoil, and they're going to keep it going one way or another, some form or a fashion, because that's what makes them happy. They just don't desire peace. That's odd to me. I don't understand that, but it's, believe me, it's true. It happens. A lot of times these are the kind of people that often force physical or spiritual conflict upon us as Christians. Sadly, I had some notes wrote on that. When they force physical or spiritual conflict on us, the world's waking up to the fact that God stands against their lifestyles, and that's where the rubber's going to meet the road. That's where the heads are going to bump. And it's not because they seek truth. They didn't find out that we're at odds with God because they were seeking truth. They found out they were at odds with God when they met resistance from us. And that's what woke them up. People in the lifestyles that we see today and the problems that we have today would have never known God had they not seen God in the church. But they've woke up. They've seen it. They've met the resistance. Now they know. So, we've got it coming. It's coming. It's already being sought out in the denominations, which are a lot more vulnerable because they're constantly giving in. Their idea of peace is compromise. So when they first get their foot in and they start, you know, they just come on in and keep giving and giving. I saw a headline this week where the Methodist denomination now is getting ready to split. One portion of the Methodists had bought into this woke side, and part of it had not. We can't stand for everything, and that's what the world don't understand. It's just like democracy. Everybody can't have everything the way they want it. That's not the way it works.
I mean, you think about Jesus when he was here. He never wronged a soul.
Yeah.
And people were trying to kill him and hurt him the whole time he was here.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You know, it's not something that we want or desire, this conflict that's coming our way. These evil people who don't want peace with us. And we'll have to fight to establish peace through defeat. We do it, as Ray mentioned, we defeat error or unrighteousness with righteousness. I had a couple of verses here. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. We talked about it a while ago. That you may be able to withstand the evil day. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we know from our studies we have to armor ourselves because we are going to resist evil. Remember, we talked about do not resist evil. Christ wasn't always speaking, he was speaking a lot of times figuratively. We have to resist evil, but we can equip ourselves in order to do that. Romans 13, 3 through 4 reminds us when we meet these people that are evil, these people who will not have peace, and the people who bring the conflict to us, we know from our study, if at all possible, We give room. That doesn't mean we compromise. That just means we take the high ground. We give room to wrath, but we don't relax on God's word. And if that comes, he mentions in 13:3-4, the avenger will be God, that the courts, the governments, set in his place at his will, and they will delve out and avenge the wrong that we have. I've said it before. That's one thing that stuck with me out of this study. We need to be equipping ourselves. We need to have our armor polished. We need to be ready because times are coming. Bernice and I know had a talk back there the other day. You look at the early church. Look at the atmosphere, the climate that they were in. We have been spoiled for hundreds of years in this country. This country was founded on knowing God, or at least His values, and we have lived in an incubator for 200 years. It's allowed the church to flourish. But the times are going back. They're reverting back. I pray it never gets to the way it was in the early church, but we do see that it's declining some. The peace that the Lord offers is more than what we've just talked about with ease of man. The ceasing of hostilities with our enemies, the attitude of live and let live, it's more than all that. It's more than just getting rid of the hostilities with our enemies or just tolerating others in silence and indifference. The Lord offers something possible, not just negative. It's wishing for completeness and wholeness in a person's life and outlook. It involves that which makes for man's highest good. It's what the world sees. We keep talking about optics. All these things create a different thing that the world sees, optics that they pick up on us. What kind of peace is Jesus speaking about in this beautiful beatitude? It's this peace that deals with relationships between human beings. That's where it really shows. Taught so much about love. Love for our brothers. Love for our fellow man. Do good for all, especially for those of the household of faith. Galatians 6. We've got all those things that we're told. That's what the world sees, and that's what we're to do. Relationships. When peace, as the world defines it, starts becoming a selfish thing, that's an indicator that we're completely off track. Peace of God is not a selfish, it's a selfless thing of where we strive to have peace and to get along with others. This is in contrast to people who are quarrelsome, contentious, and troublemakers. Some people stir up strife in families, communities, and churches. Some people are doing the bidding of Satan. Jesus is talking about people who work to eliminate bitterness among their brethren, who desire to unite men in love and goodwill, those who desire to bring about wholesome harmony and good among men. Some of those things I've already talked about that they see in us, how we react. I'm going to stop us there. But I pray that we'll get through this in the next class and be able to at least touch on the last one in Matthew. I pray that we can. I'll try to do better. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted. We need to at least touch on that. If nothing else, we can write some articles on it or have a sermon or some things on it. But I want to finish up Peacemakers next class, which will be Sunday morning, and then we'll start on those who are persecuted. Anybody got anything to add? Anything we need to change? Thank you.
As far as us, our peace, long as we remain faithful, we always have peace with God.
That's right.
Now, to have peace with other men, sometimes that's impossible. The only thing they consider peace have everything their way.
That's right.
And that's something we can give in to.
You're right, exactly. That's a good way to put it, Lowell. You're exactly right. And those are the times that we can see in our mind could come soon. We could face that. Thank you.